Just a verse in 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Having cast all your care upon him, for he cares about you. I'd like to talk tonight about God's care of you. Divine protection. Peter here says, cast all your care upon him. The root word of cast here is the same as when Jesus came in riding on a donkey into Jerusalem, and they cut down the palm trees and they waved them and they threw them. They also brought their clothes and they cast them onto the donkey, and the animal would have gone on into Jerusalem. It's the same word. Cast your care. Why would you do that? Why cast your care? The most wonderful thing, the reason for it is because God cares about you. That's why you'd do it. What a sensible, rational thing to do if somebody cares for you. Give your cares to him. Cast them. Don't keep them. Throw them. Cast them. Get rid of them. The cares, the pressures. Cast them on God because he cares about you. I'm sure we've all got cares, pressures here, haven't we? Pressures of life, pressures in all sorts of ways, big pressures, exams, A-levels, results, jobs, changes, life, growing up, dads and mums, ill health, can be big things, but it says all, having cast all your care upon him. It might be looking for a parking space, it might be reversing into a difficult spot. It might be something very small, very trivial. It might be a nasty boss. It might be an unkind person in the playground. It says, cast all your cares upon him because he cares about you. The world talks about customer care, doesn't it? I don't know if you've proved customer care in the world. We try in our business. We don't always get it right. We get some pretty irate customers. Think we don't care, don't bother. Late with orders and the wrong orders sometimes. We've done it all, I think. But we try. But you see, you scratch the surface in this world and they say they'll care for you. You buy a car and you think, that's an amazing chap, amazing salesperson, lovely garage, and what a deal I've got. But you know, he doesn't care, the salesperson doesn't really care for you. He's worried about his results. You take the school that you go to, and you're trying to get an excellent result in A-levels, but the school's more worried about their own results these days and how they look in the league tables. You see, Satan, he goes about seeking whom he may devour. He's come, Jesus said he's come that he might devour and destroy and kill. He doesn't care. But God does. God cares for you. Every one of you, your life, the number of the hairs of your head, God cares intimately for you. He's an interested person in your life, in what you do in your youth, in the school you go to, in the family that he set you, where you belong. He's intimately interested in you because he cares for you. Never, ever, ever forget that. Whatever you do with your life, wherever you go, however far you want to go, Luke 15 tells us that the Father's care was still there. Whatever, however far the Son went, whatever he did, however low he went, the Father was still waiting, because the Father cares. And friend, he's still waiting maybe for someone here, is he? Someone who's determined to go away from dad and mum. Someone who's determined to go away into this old world and enjoy it. And to sink lower and lower and lower. Do you know God cares for you? And he always will. Because that's who God is. It's wonderful as a parent to know that our children are cared for by God. Wonderful to have those that maybe our parents grow up. Our parents get old rather, and God cares for them too. It doesn't stop. The care of God is great and it's lifelong. This book, it's full of examples of God's care. Think of men in the garden sinning and failing. Think of men hiding think of men fearful. And God clothes them. It's the grace of God. It's the care of God. Pick a name. David. Think of him running away from Saul. Time and time again, Saul could have got him, but divine protection on David. God's care. Think of Jonah running. Panic, fear. God says do this, but I don't want to. I'm going to go that way. I'm going to get into the boat and I'm going to go down into the boat and nobody will recognize me. And then the storm comes and then he gets chucked out. And is that it? You say, well, what's God doing there? Is God caring? Yes, he is. Because God sent the fish to swallow up Jonah. And we know the story. He ended up on the beach. Unusual holiday for Jonah. There he was on the beach. It's God's care. You pick anyone. It's Old Testament. Think of Noah in the ark. It says God shut him in. It's God's care. God shut the door. You go to the New Testament. You look at Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. Think of the care of God. Think of the interest in their lives. You look at Peter in the prison. Held between the two guards. God's care was over him. Think of Paul and Silas beaten, hurt. You think, God's care? Yes, God's care. The earthquake. Released. Allowed to preach again. God's care over them. Think of the Magi. They were told to go another way. God's care. I could go on and on and on. If you're not sure if God does care, I'll tell you a story about the Covenanters. I don't know whether you know about them. You can Google them afterwards. I think it was 17th century and they were Scottish and they were sort of a Presbyterian movement. And in the Bathgate Hills, south of Linlithgow, there was one of them who was being hounded. He was a Christian, and persons were going to kill him. And they were on horses, he was on foot. And he ran and he ran, and he fell in the gorse and the heather. He was just exhausted, and the horses, he could hear them coming closer and closer. These persons were going to kill him. And he cried out, and he said, "Oh God, put your cloak around me, for I am done." And a mist came down at that moment on those hills. And he, as he lay there, he saw the horse's hooves go past him. That's God's care. That's the God we've read about. Having cast all your care upon him, for he cares about you. What about your own personal life? Have you got a story? Have you got a story about God's care? I've probably told you this before, but in 2007 I was cutting a tree down and it all went badly wrong. And I was bleeding and on the ground. I tried to go into the house to use the phone and I couldn't. I was so weak. I was found a long way away in some stables. And someone rang for the ambulance and I was taken there and I was talking to the doctor. He said, "What actually happened?" And I said, "Some of it is very sketchy. I don't really know." But I said, "I was found a long distance away from where we lived." And he said this. He said, "You couldn't have gone for help with those injuries and with the amount of blood that you've lost. You couldn't have gone for help." He said, "Somebody must have gone for you." And friend, there you are. That's a true story. These are true stories. The Covenanters are a true story. And the story I've told you is absolutely true. That's the care of God. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares about you. Have you proved that care in your own life? You might shun it. You might not believe it. You might not accept it, but it's true that God actually cares for you. I'd like just briefly to talk about the care of God in relation to his son. You remember when Jesus was born, he was there in the manger and he was wrapped in swaddling clothes. That's the father's care for his son. The father's delight and joy was in that one. And it was the delight of Jesus to do his father's will. In his death, Jesus was wrapped in fine linen. You could say from the start to the end of the life of Jesus, God took care of him. There were times when persons came to take him, but they couldn't. It was God's care. There were times when he just departed from the company that he was in. It was God's care, divine protection. But there came a moment, and this is really all I want to say to you tonight, having gone on for so long. There came a moment when Jesus was said to the persons around him, he said, "This is your hour and the power of darkness." There came a moment when Jesus was put on the cross. There came a moment when persons in this world did some terrible things to Jesus. There came a moment when Jesus, it says, he looked for comforters. He looked for sympathy and he found none. It came to a point, friend, where Jesus cried on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And it's because God cares for you that Jesus was forsaken. It's because of you that God sent his son. It's because of you God asked Jesus to take your place. And Jesus was willing to go. And he was going to go. And there he went and there he hung, having been spat at and hurt by man. Think of what they did to him, friend. He became flesh. We read that this afternoon. The word became flesh. Think of him. He had hands. And what did they do with those hands? Those hands that had healed. Those hands that had done so much good. Those hands that had made the furniture. He was a carpenter. What did they do? They nailed him to the cross of wood. Think of those feet. Think of where they'd taken him. Think of the love that he'd shown as he walked, as he spoke. Think of his lips. Think of his mouth. Think of his head. Think of the word becoming flesh. Think of what they did to the Lamb of God. You might say, well, where was God's care then? You know, see, Jesus cried out. There were seven cries from the cross. But Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Friend, does that just touch your heart? That the God who cares for you looked away at that moment. Friend, he did that. The God who cares for you did that to his only son. He took your place. He was a substitute. He was an offering. He was perfect. He was sin apart, but he was made sin. He bore your sins in his body on the tree. He shed his precious blood for you, for your sins. And God saw it all. And God poured out the judgment against sin on his only son. Because God cares for you. And so, friend, you can cast all your cares on him. Every one of them. Don't hold back. God's a willing, able Saviour. Jesus has completed the work. Did God not care for his son? Raised by the glory of the Father. Think of God's delight in raising his son. The one who had done his will, completed the work. The one who has, friend, enabled salvation for you and me. The work was done absolutely perfectly. It is finished, he cried. It was done. There was nothing else needed. Friend, the quality of the work of Christ, think of it, friend. It doesn't rely on you saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, over and over again. How many times can you repent? Friend, you need to repent, yes. But if there's someone here, maybe with a sin, a past sin that still burdens them, friend, if you've asked God for forgiveness, he will give it to you because of the work of Christ. You can look at the work of Christ and it was perfect and it was done and the blood was shed. And his blood cleanses us from every sin. Don't let the enemy cause any doubt in your mind. The work of Christ and the quality of it was perfect and to God's full satisfaction, and you can accept it too. May you do so, friend. You see, I just feel I've scratched the surface of God's care. It's a huge subject. But he delighted in raising his son. He's set him there, this Jesus whom ye have crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. That's where he is. He is exalted there. He's crowned with glory and honour, and rightly so. You remember in Luke 10, I think it is, you get that story of the Lord on that journey. And is it 10? Good Samaritan. And he says to the innkeeper, look after him, take care of him. That's God's care. You see, we have the Holy Spirit. If we're believers, we trust him. The Holy Spirit is given. Some say it's automatic, the gift of the Holy Spirit. I don't know. Some say you need to obey and you need to ask. Perhaps we'll talk about it afterwards. Some say it's automatic, the gift of the Holy Spirit. I don't know. I think we'll go with obey and ask. And God's willing to give, to fill you with the Holy Spirit, his Holy Spirit he's given, poured out from heaven on men and women that believe. And he's like the innkeeper. He'll take care of us. Until what? Well, that story, that man was on a journey and he says, on my coming back. Friend, he's coming back. Isn't that a joy? That Lamb of God that was bruised and spat at and hurt and knew such pain. When he looked for comforters and there was none. When he looked for care, there was none. Even his Father and his God turned his face from him. That blessed one will come. And all shall see his glory. All shall own his greatness. Friends, you can do it now. You can own his greatness. You can come to him now. You need to, friend. Don't put it off because he's coming again. Imagine if this was the last one. The last gospel preaching. Oh, you've heard that so many times, I'm sure. Friend, it'll happen. It will happen. There is a day where God has set a day when he will judge the whole habitable earth in righteousness by the man whom he has appointed. That's the Lamb of God, the one who takes away the sin of the world. I just urge you to come. Maybe you've come years and years ago. Come again tonight. Maybe you've never come before. You see, the God who cares for you loves you and wants you. Young people, he wants your lives. He wants your heart. He wants your soul. He wants your body. He wants every part of you. The one who intimately knows you. The God who created you. The God who has a right to you. The God who sent his son, who's paid the price for you. He wants you as a worshipper. How could you not be? What arrogance. God's given everything for you, friend. Absolutely everything to purchase you again. Like the little boy with the boat. And he sailed it down the river and he lost it. A couple of days later he saw it in the... what do you call them? Hospice in the Weald. And he bought it. And on the way home he said, this is twice mine. I made it. And I've bought it. It's twice mine. It's like you, friend. God made you. He has a right to you. And he's bought you by the precious blood of his son, who he loved and delighted in. He wants you and he cares for you. He cares you so much that he looked away when his son needed him most. Just may that just touch your heart, friend, and may you turn in faith and true repentance to a holy and a righteous God who's faithful and able now to forgive your sins completely and entirely, and to live here for him with the power of the Holy Spirit inside. Live here until the Lord Jesus comes. I've probably told you this as well. My dad had a Bible, and my mum said to me, "What would you like of your dad when my dad passed away? What would you like?" And I said, "I'd love his Bible, because he's got all sorts of notes written in there." And I've got an older brother, and he got the Bible. And I was bitterly disappointed. I got the new Bible, the one he got not long before he was taken ill. And I looked through the pages. I looked for any note, any message, any word, any scripture underlined. There was nothing. I didn't go right the way through every page, I'll confess. But in Revelation it says of Jesus that I come quickly, and that was underlined. Just those words, "I come quickly." Friend, he's coming. The one that died for you and shed his blood is coming again, and he's coming quickly. Don't put the message away. Don't forget it. Reach out and cast all your care on God, for he cares about you. God, it says, he's preserver of all men, especially those that believe. Oh, friend, become a believer tonight for his name's sake. Amen.